Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. We want to remind you that today we are actually doing a combination in person and Zoom. So hopefully you are on one of those, either in the in person, where you get to see some of your other Unity family and friends, or that you're in the Zoom session. And you can find the links to those in your e-newsletter or your weekly update. And also, we really appreciate if this message today, this service, really speaks to you. We really appreciate you donating to Unity Center of Light. We know a lot of times when you're on YouTube, you don't realize that we are still in business. And we really appreciate all of your donations. And if you want to know how to donate to Unity Center of Light, just click on the Show More button if you're watching this on YouTube, and you can see all the ways that you can donate and support this ministry. And we appreciate all of your donations. Right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Well, good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me now as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now we'll affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, October the 6th, already. And the key word is balance, and the affirmation is, I honor life's shifting rhythms. Sometimes trying to balance my schedule, meet my obligations, and even find time for the things that I enjoy can leave me scrambling to figure out how to fit it all in. Today, I take my cue from nature and show and notice the rhythm of the seasons and the tides, the cycles of growth and the order that underlies all things. I appreciate how seamlessly the natural world balances itself and restores itself to harmony. This gift of harmony and balance lives in me. I honor myself when I flow with it instead of forcing my will upon it. I listen to my body's many signals. I rest when I am tired, eat when I'm hungry, and socialize and seek solitude as I need to. As I care for myself, I find balance. The scripture is taken from Ecclesiastes 8:15, and it reads, "For there is nothing better for people under the sun than to eat and drink and enjoy themselves." Amen. And now we'll have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thanks, hon. So we're continuing in this journey, really trying to understand how do we get to the depth of our being and live from that higher place within ourselves. And we've been working with the Beatitudes. So for all the folks who are just joining us in this series of lessons we've been doing, we're in the fifth week of the study of the Beatitudes, or what we're calling the Attitudes of Being. And if you're not familiar with the Beatitudes, they are taken from Jesus' well-known Sermon on the Mount talk, and you can find it recorded in its entirety in Matthew 5, 1 through 11. Now, as inferred in the name, the Beatitudes, this is a study of our attitude or mental emotional state of being from the perspective of our relationship with God, as well as our relationship to other people and the events and circumstances in our lives. So in the Beatitudes, Jesus gave us a set of guidelines designed to help us to adjust our attitude to bring our thinking, speaking, believing, and behavior into alignment, which positions us to become more aware of the real self, okay? And that's, again, the title of this is The Real Self. My real self is merciful. Okay? So we're trying to understand what is that real self, which is the real self, which is God in us seeking to express through us as us. So through careful study and the eventual understanding and implementation of these basic guidelines, we will be positioning ourselves to be transformed through the process of regeneration. Okay, and I'll explain that a little bit more as we move along. So the Beatitude we are investigating this week are: blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, to be merciful is to be in a mental, emotional state in which your mind, body, heart, and spirit are filled with compassion and forgiveness. So even though deciding to be compassionate and forgiving in certain situations is a good thing, you know, when you make that decision, it's, you know, this situation, it either naturally calls for it, or you may have to rustle it up in yourself to be compassionate and forgiving in certain situations. So even though that's a good thing, being merciful, that we're, as we're talking about, is a whole nother level in the process of becoming or being regenerated, okay? So being regenerated means that your whole being is going through a massive transformation. And the revealing word explains that this regeneration or regenerating transformation takes place by bringing all the forces of your mind and body to supporting the Christ presence within you. So the regeneration begins its work in your conscious mind and completes its work in your subconscious mind. Okay, so this is a total overhaul of ourself, so to speak. So the regeneration process moves you from making decisions about whether or not to be merciful in certain situations in your life to being the holistic expression of compassion and forgiveness in all of your life and affairs. So one part of it is we're sort of like making a decision. But the other part of it, when we really evolve, when we really go through this regeneration, or as we're going through this regeneration, compassion and forgiveness just becomes a real natural expression from us. So it's like the expression, I got this from a Netflix series. You're going to hear a lot of movie quotes this week. But this was real interesting, where two characters met each other, mystical characters, and one of them said to the other, "May the light be with you." To which the person that was being said to replied, "The light is always with us. It does not need our instructions." I was like, all right, that's what we're trying to get to, is that understanding. And likewise, we can say that mercy is always with us. It is the true nature of our real self. It does not need our instruction or our decision to be merciful, because being merciful is who we really are. Okay, so just like the light is always with us and doesn't need our instructions, being merciful is always with us. Okay, and it doesn't need our instructions, and more or less needs us to get out of the way. Okay, and we're going to talk about how that happens. So all of our unmerciful thoughts and actions have no part in who we really are. Rather, they are part and parcel of the fears embedded in our ego self. As a result, you know, just to explain it, as a result of our reactions to our life experiences. So this beatitude is describing the quality and the quantity of the energy which is flowing through our mind, body, heart, and soul. Okay? So we want to try to understand the whole process. This is a regenerating process. If this is flowing through our mind, body, heart, and soul, then all of us is being regenerated, okay? And when we, you know, have merciful energy flowing through our mind, body, heart, and soul, we express compassion and forgiveness towards all whom we come in touch with, okay? And we express merciful energy sincerely from all aspects of our being. It almost becomes like that. You ever heard of the expression where a person walks into the room, that person lights the room up? Well, that's sort of what is happening. When people come into your space, they can feel the mercy, the merciful energy, the compassion, the forgiving energy flowing through you. And yes, I agree that life often presents us with circumstances where compassion and forgiveness just seem unjustifiable, okay? You just can't justify it in your mind that you can be compassionate or forgiving in this situation, you know? So that's the whole thing about justification. But Abraham Lincoln's response to that is, I have always found that being merciful bears richer fruit than strict justice. And Kabir Helminski says, there is no true justice without mercy. Mercy precedes everything, and it is why we are here. And then Susan, I think it's Sontag, she expressed it this way. She said, 10% of any population is cruel, no matter what. 10% is merciful, no matter what. And the remaining 80% can be moved in either direction depending on the circumstance, okay? And even though Susan's statement may be hypothetical, you know, we don't know really, do we really know that 10% is this and 10% is that? But ask yourself, which group do you fall into? And I think that many of us have a tendency to fall into that 80%. We have a tendency to interact with each other from varying degrees of compassion and forgiveness. And it may have to do with whether or not we are able to rise above and stay afloat in a consciousness of compassion or sink into the unforgiving darkness of hurt and anger and pain that results from not being able to forgive, okay? So in another Netflix movie I was watching, there was a little girl sitting there about 10 years old. They were all the kids were dressed in white. It was sort of an angelic society. And she was making a paper boat. And all the kids were watching her, and then she put the boat into the water and it started floating. And then one of the boys took several rocks and kept throwing it at the boat until he sunk it, okay? So she grabs the little boy, throws him down on the ground, and is beating him mercilessly, okay? For sinking her paper boat, you know, by throwing a rock at it. So her older brother comes upon her. He's in like maybe 20. And he's trying to help his little sister understand a different way of responding. So he asks her if she knew why a ship floats and a rock sinks in the water. So he explained it was because the rock sees only downward, and to the rock, the darkness of the water is vast and irresistible. However, the ship feels the darkness just like the rock does, okay? So the ship is feeling what the rock does. Now, if you can feel that darkness, that, you know, trying to pull it down, you know, striving moment by moment to master her, the ship, and pull her under. But the ship has a secret. For unlike the rock, the ship keeps her gaze upward, not downward, fixed upon the light that guides her and whispers to her of things that the darkness does not even know or wouldn't understand. But he explains that it is true, though, that sometimes the light shines just as brightly, you know, from the sun, reflecting in the water as it does in the sky, making it hard to determine which way is up and which way is down, causing us to wonder which light to follow. But he explained there is only one true light, and you learn for yourself through your life experiences how to discern the true light and follow it in all aspects of your life. And I said to Pam, I got to write this down and share it. I thought that was such a powerful explanation of this process we're going through. And I think that many of us are in that in-between space where we sometimes find ourselves not being able to justify entering into the light of compassion and forgiveness because of the nature of the circumstance we may be experiencing, okay? And remember, we all understand what it's like to be in that position. But when we reach the level in consciousness where we are truly merciful, you know, our whole being has been regenerated. Our whole attitude of being will be filled with love and light and compassion. And there will be no room in us for darkness. And we will think compassionate thoughts and speak compassionate words and do compassionate acts of kindness. And yes, I admit that that does sound like a pipe dream, right? A lot of these talks sound like a pipe dream, you know. Only we could reach that place that we talk about so much. No, but this pipe dream, meaning an unattainable state of being, let's put it that way. We still might find that as hard as we try to be like the ship, keeping our gaze upward towards light, life just happens, causing us to sink into the darkness like a rock. But many of us, you know, through our life, have developed survival skills that help us to swim back to the surface and into the light, right? You know, skills like prayer, meditation, and spiritual mantras, you know, taking scripture and making a mantra out of it, going for a walk, and other ways of going apart for a while to clear your mind and emotions of the darkness that's trying to overtake you. So if you have been a truth student for a while, you have most likely developed your spiritual coping skills to get you through the tough times. And if we look at the catastrophes all over the past decades, okay, we have seen incredible outpouring of compassion and dedication of people helping people affected by these catastrophes, even in today's news and watching what's going on around the world. You know, our hearts pour out to people who are struggling and suffering and being unjustly affected. And yes, we are also seeing unprecedented acts of violence and cruelty right today. And that behavior may always be with us, okay? But we each must decide how we're going to allow these acts that lack mercy to affect us. And it's never that we're, you know, that we're doing nothing, okay? It's never about that process of doing nothing, okay? Sometimes a spiritual process, when you're talking about it, it sounds like it's about doing nothing and just being still, you know, sitting with your legs crossed and meditating. But it's not about doing nothing. As Martin Luther King expressed, our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. But as he demonstrated by his life, he didn't approach the merciless acts of others with violence, but with a sense of belief that humanity can change, okay? And he gave us a very powerful message of hope when he said, I refuse to accept the view that humankind is so tragically bound to the starless midnight of merciless acts of unkindness that the bright daybreak of peace and brotherhood and sisterhood can never become a reality. I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word, okay? And I love that, okay? That's a powerful saying. Yes, those of us who have been around for a while may argue that nothing has changed much in the cultural, social, political dynamics of society. And that may be the case. But the real and most effective application of Dr. King's quote is to determine if change is happening in you. Is change happening in me? And most of us do not have the global leadership impetus of Dr. King, meaning the driving force to change of change that he was. Okay, he was just a force of change, but we do have the ability to change ourselves. And the Beatitudes are about self-change. Listen again. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. See, this is about what we are able to do in our personal circle of life, people, and affairs. Now, in another Netflix movie about a young art student from Texas who got a study abroad scholarship, and she was studying in Florence, Italy, okay? And she asked her teacher, what can I do to become a better artist? Well, the teacher replied, learn to look up instead of always looking down at the paper. And it's the same for us. When life circumstances cause us to look down into the darkness of despair, that is the time to instead look up into the light of divine guidance, divine inspiration, divine healing, and comfort. And the teacher went on to say to the young artist, one day, you're going to look back on your life and understand yourself in a whole new way because of the choices you're making as a young woman. Well, many of us listening to this message already have a lot of life to look back on, right? But what have you learned? What have we learned from the years that we have lived that will help us to view ourselves in a whole new way, okay? And even if we haven't been doing it, now that we've heard that, we can do that. We can look back over our lives and the choices we made when we were much younger and say, how can I use that to see myself in a whole new light? So I truly believe that all of you who are on a conscious spiritual journey, notice I said a conscious spiritual journey, have learned how to be merciful and do merciful acts of kindness to others. Not because it is the right thing to do, rather it is because it has become an expression of your regenerated self, okay? Your regenerated way of being. So when we're operating from a consciousness that is truly merciful, truly compassionate and forgiving, we will not know anything else but mercy. Okay? Compassionate communication will be our natural way of being. It will come from realizing who we really are. So the key to spiritual unfoldment is congruency. And I've said this many times before. I've talked a whole lot of times about this idea about being congruent, and I'll probably say it a whole lot of times again. But if you're serious about establishing a heightened sense of your spirituality, you must start by creating a balance and a sameness between what you think, say, and do. Because incongruence between what you think, say, and do establishes a mental, emotional, inner environment that is destructive to the development of a consciousness that's capable of perceiving and maintaining a connection to the God of our being. Incongruence causes us to become extremely critical and judgmental of others, as well as of ourselves and the circumstances we find ourselves in. The Christ self, however, is the inner voice that gently guides us to understand that there are more possible ways of seeing and interpreting what is occurring in our life than we are aware of. That is why when we find ourselves feeling disturbed, entering into the darkness, the first thing we want to do is become still, okay, and listen. But we must learn how to relax from the knee-jerk reaction we have unconsciously trained ourselves to have towards certain events and circumstances in our lives. And we do. Just think about what, I know what mine are. Think about what yours are, these knee-jerk reactions that we have. You know, because believe it or not, being merciful is a more natural state of our being than knee-jerk reactions are, okay? It's just that knee-jerk reactions is what we go to. But we have a more natural state than knee-jerk reactions. So being on the spiritual path is truly a trip to remembering our natural self, to remembering what is truly natural to our soul. And the Beatitudes are teaching us how to get back to basics, back to the core of what is really real within us, back to where we are capable of seeing the world and each other with the eyes of compassion. And if you're sitting there thinking to yourself, it is impossible not to be judgmental, or it is necessary to be judgmental. People are wrong and they need to be told that they're wrong, okay? See if you got that feeling coming up into you. And if this is what you're thinking, well, it can be gratifying to know that you are right in tune with the rest of us who to some degree are also ego-drugged and ego-addicted, okay? So a lot of times when we judge something and we get into it, we're a group, of, oh yeah, this is terrible, this is bad, you know, we're just right there together, you know, ego-drugged and ego-addicted. But the good news, however, good news meaning the gospel, is that our purpose for being on this earth plane is to learn how to break free of that popular thinking and way of being, break free of the herd consciousness. That is the goal of the spiritual journey. So reacting, criticizing, judging, like everyone else does, keeps us in tune with the popular view of the herd. Whereas truly living the spiritual life can be unpopular because it separates us from the herd, or it separates you from the herd. And even Jesus admitted to this in John 7:7 when he said, the world cannot hate you, okay, because you're part of the herd. But it does hate me because I accuse it of doing evil, okay? So again, the world cannot hate you means because we often do what everyone else does, we are accepted as part of the herd, part of the tribe. Whereas truly living in spiritual consciousness causes you to see things from a higher perspective, which is not always popular. mainly because it is not understood by the herd. Okay, and you can look, if you look through history, I'm right off, you know, my bat, Mother Teresa, Dr. Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi, you know, these are people who separated themselves from the herd if you're trying to understand what does that look like. Okay, but being merciful is about learning how to make heart connections rather than ego connections. Being merciful is about learning how to connect your heart with the heart of another, even when your beliefs and opinions are in conflict. It's about learning how to care for the person above and beyond the frictions created by your differences. But it takes a person with a big heart to love in spite of the circumstances, personality differences, or whatever it is that causes people to judge, criticize, and condemn each other. And again, as Jesus taught, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And this beatitude is teaching us how to develop a big heart, a heart that is far greater in its capacity to hold on to and maintain the energy of love that creates harmony, balance, forgiveness, and kindness and patience, more than the ego is at holding and maintaining the energy that creates disharmony, imbalance, destruction, criticism, impatience, and retaliation. So from where you are at your level of being merciful, if you persistently practice random acts of kindness, you will increase the capacity of your heart to hold greater and greater volumes of compassionate love energy. Now let me say it again. From wherever we are right now in our level of being merciful, if we persistently practice random acts of kindness, if we persistently increase the capacity of our heart to hold greater and greater volumes of compassionate love energy, okay, we will reach the state of mercifulness that Jesus talked about. And at the same time, as you're going through that process, you'll diminish the capacity of your ego, causing it to gradually have to let go of its negative, unforgiving, unmerciful energy, okay? And the unique thing to understand about this transformation to being merciful is that this does not require us to go out of our way to find people to practice on. You can practice being merciful, patient, compassionate, forgiving, and understanding right where you are with the people who are already in your life. So there it is. Another one of those lessons where you're probably thinking, geez, do I have to practice this with so-and-so? Where so-and-so is someone or some ones you have had extreme difficulty with for a long time? Well, you know the answer, of course, is an emphatic yes. Because these people are the ones who provide you with the greatest opportunity for spiritual growth. And actually, many of us have people in our lives who have been providing us with growth opportunities for a long time. And we are just now learning that that is what they were doing. So I'm going to leave you with this affirming thought from today's Science of Mind magazine, okay? And this is what it says. So today I examine the content and roots of my belief system. If certain beliefs do not honor me and the sacred path, truth of my being, I lovingly extract, discard, and replace them. And so it is. Amen. All right? And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So Unity family, let's begin to relax our bodies and be in the stillness of this moment. Turn within and breathe deeply. Let your body relax and take in another deep breath. Release it and relax your body some more. As you are breathing in and out, become aware of any tension leaving your body from the top of your head down to the bottom of your toes. You release and let go. You are now immersed in the comfort of God's love. You feel this love saturating your mind and body. You feel this love removing any anxiety and worrisome thoughts and feelings. There is great comfort in knowing that God is with you at all times and in all circumstances. From that thought alone, you feel your spirit lifted, you feel safe and secure and peaceful. Notice as you breathe, your mind is still at peace. You are calm and at ease. Spirit is flowing through you, and you can feel security and tranquility washing over you. Please take the following words as your very own. Dear Spirit within, I have turned to others in times of need, seeking the help and support I cannot seem to find in myself. I am grateful for friends and loved ones, of course, but only God will give me strength to surmount all difficulties. God's sustaining grace is powerful enough to transform feelings of weakness, loss, or loneliness into feelings of peace, strength, and serenity. God is in the midst of me, a wise and loving friend. Wherever I am, my friend God is there. Wherever I go, my friend God goes with me. God's love sustains me through every experience. I am able to meet life with faith and courage. You, God, are my wise and loving friend. Let's take the next few moments now in the silence without the sound of my voice. Use this time to pray, receive answers to your prayers, and to become even more still. We are grateful, Holy Spirit, for answered prayers. We say thank you in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is, and forever shall be. Amen. When you are ready, come back to your surroundings and join your Unity family.
So this is a time we open our hearts and minds and think about our Unity family, our Unity church community, and how we want to continue to support the work that's being done there. But the first thing we're going to do is we're going to do an affirmation for ourselves, a prosperity prayer for our individual selves. So let's do that together first. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen. And now what we're going to do is we're going to, you know, we've blessed ourselves. We've opened ourselves up to the divine flow that comes into our lives. And now we want to, you know, allow some of that to flow into our spiritual home, the place where we get our spiritual food from. So I ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit, as we say our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. And now you have light notes.
Yes. Light notes for today, Sunday, November the 6th. On Sunday, November the 20th, our guest speaker will be our very own April May. Her message is on everyday mysticism. Is it for everybody? Please join us and show your support. Our Book Light Book Club will meet on Sunday, November the 13th, discuss the book Becoming, that's the book by Michelle Obama. The discussion will be from 1 to 3 p.m. on Zoom, so please check your updates and your e-newsletter for this, the link. On Sunday, December the 4th, we will have our in-person and hybrid service. Quiet the Mountain will be our guest musicians. Also, we will be holding a special remembrance service as part of that regular service that day. December 11th, Lily Sandberg, whom you all know well, will be back, will be our guest speaker, so please plan on joining us. And the final announcement is the Women of Unity. They're going to celebrate we're going to celebrate the divine feminine in each of us on Saturday, December 17th, with a holiday high tea. Please email me at pamosby@msn.com if you will be attending. And please contribute to the tea by bringing something good to eat for sharing, like finger sandwiches or scones, etc. Hats and gloves are optional. That concludes our announcements for today.
All right, well.
What time is it? Mm-hmm. It's now time to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation together with passion, zeal and gusto.
I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right. Let's go right into our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. We hope that hopefully you are in or will join into the Zoom or in-person service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And other than that, have a wonderful week and stay blessed and healthy.
Bye-bye.